It is another edition of the Young Ag Achievers podcast. I am Lee Benson, the Public Information Officer for the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food, and Forestry. And I'm joined, as always, by Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur. Coming up on the show today, Secretary Arthur will be talking to Eliana Timmons of Stillwater FFA and Corbin Robbins of Chattanooga FFA out in southwest Oklahoma. Both of our guests were honored at the National FFA Convention last November, so we'll learn about that experience and much more, I am sure. Secretary Arthur, I know you always enjoy visiting with these students, so what should we expect today from your interview with Eliana and Corbin?
Well, certainly excited to visit with these two students. Our Oklahoma FFA students are always very competitive at the national level and kind of two distinct lanes that these young people have been competing in. So excited to hear about how they prepared for that and kind of how they worked through the competition and probably what they're getting ready for this spring as well.
And before we get to your chat with Eliana and Corbin, I usually ask you a question to get to know you a little bit better. But today I want to switch it up, do something a little bit different, and do a little this or that.
Okay.
And I may ask you some reasoning behind, you know, why this or that. So okay. Be prepared for that.
This is my first this or that, Lee. So
this is your first one?
Yes, it is.
I feel so honored. I was trying to think of ag-centric things, and I could only think of like one. But okay. And I actually stole it from the podcast a couple episodes ago where you did it with the kids. But then I thought, you know what? If I do ag ones, I don't know if I want to make you pick between this or that because you...
That gets a little tricky.
It gets
I can't
tricky,
pick
yeah.
favorites.
So. You love all ag.
That is, so that's right.
We're going to keep it more, I guess, topics that maybe I know a little bit more about. So we'll start with the only ag-ish one that I could think of. And we'll go cowboy hat or ball cap?
Oh, ball cap for sure. Yes. For me to wear or just in general?
Just for you to wear.
Yeah. I mean, I have a cowboy hat, but ball cap for sure. If I'm not at work, I have a ball cap on a lot, actually.
Okay. So already making the ag community not very happy. Got it. Okay.
I like all things. That's good.
I'm just kidding. All right. Next one. Food related. Cake or pie?
Oh, cake for sure, but not a whole lot of icing on it. So lots of cake with just a little bit of icing. If it has too much icing, then no cake.
I respect that answer. That's the right one.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a pie person. Definitely cake. Let's go to books. I know you like to read.
I do.
Fiction or nonfiction?
Oh, I kind of swap back and forth, and I do like to read, but I also listen to lots of audiobooks because lots of drive time or lots of travel time. So I usually actually swap. If I listen to a fiction, then the next one I pick is nonfiction. I actually like historical fiction where you're still learning, you know, some history, but it makes it into a little bit more interesting story to hear. So maybe I'm meshing both of those.
So both.
Yes.
That's a fair both.
Okay.
Okay. I'll accept that. Same kind of, entertainment, whatnot. Do you prefer TV, watch a TV show, or a movie?
Oh, movie for sure. We're not big TV watchers at my house, so we just don't do a whole lot. And we do some movies, but more it might be like an intentional, like there's going to be XYZ movie is coming out at the theater. So movies over TV for
sure. A couple more. You have a time machine. Do you travel to the future or the past?
Oh, that's actually a really good one. Definitely the past because I don't think I would want to know what the future held. So I would travel backwards.
Okay. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, that makes sense.
Well, because then I feel like I'd start making all these different decisions today based off of what I thought was going to happen in the future, and I wouldn't want to do that. So
yeah, if you go back in the past, you have advantages that people don't have because you already know what's going to happen.
Right. I don't want to disrupt. I'm just going to visit, right?
You're just going to visit. Okay. Well, you can do whatever you want. It's your time machine.
Kind of Back to the Future type Marty Robbins deal. No. Mm-hmm. What was
Marty McFly.
Marty McFly.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
Not my favorite.
Which one is your favorite? There's several of them.
Varsity Blues.
Okay.
It's not, I don't think it's appropriate though for this podcast. We'll, discuss
not.
It later
Probably
off air.
Not.
I have the last, one last one for you. This is going to be a tough one for you. Especially judging based off of the jacket you're wearing today.
Okay.
orange or crimson?
Oh, orange for sure. That's an easy one.
How
I have an
you?
Orange jacket on. Our listeners cannot see that, but Lee is an OU graduate.
Yeah.
We did still hire him here at the Department of Ag, but we try to hire OSU people if we can.
Yeah, I'm one of the few. I'm one of the few. I wanted to end on a somewhat easy one. That was fun.
Okay.
Good stuff. Well, still to come, we're going to obviously listen to the interview. with Secretary Arthur, and we'll react to it as well. So let's do it. Let's send it over to Secretary Arthur for her chat with Eliana Timmons and Corbin Robbins.
All right. Well, we are excited. This is podcast number 7 and have 2 FFA students on with us this afternoon. Eliana Timmons from the Stillwater FFA and Corbin Robbins from the Chattanooga FFA chapter. And just going to have you guys start out and tell us a little bit about yourself. So Eliana, we'll start with you and just tell us anything that you want the listeners to know about you or your FFA experience or just anything that you want to share to get us kicked off.
I've grown up in Stillwater my entire life. I have an older brother. He is a senior. He's actually going to graduate this year. I first got into FFA in 8th grade, and I got in because of my brother. And ever since I started FFA, I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm. All right, Corbin, how about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a proud member of Chattanooga FFA, and the reason I got into FFA is it's a family tradition. It's been passed on for quite a few generations, so it was definitely a yes for me, and I love public speaking. That's my passion.
Okay, and we have Eliana, you're a freshman, yes, in high school, and Corbin is a sophomore, so you guys are kind of at the beginning of your FFA journey, but both of you all have been very successful for your few short years in the FFA program. So, Corbin, we will start with you and talk to us a little bit about, and you might even start, some of our listeners might not even be familiar with the creed, so you might tell them a little bit about the creed, about public speaking, and kind of what you were able to do, I guess, about this time last year in the National Convention in the fall.
Yeah, for sure. So the FFA Creed, in my opinion, is the beliefs of FFA as an organization. It's what we value, especially as farmers and ranchers and agriculturists in general. And for me, that was really powerful, especially when I was speaking the Creed at the state and national level. You can feel it inside of you when you speak, and I feel like that's empowering, and it helps you in competitions. And, around this time last year, I was at a national convention, right? And, I placed 3rd there at nationals, and I won state, and that's a really exciting thing. It's very exhilarating, and I'll tell you, finals hall at national convention might be one of the funnest places to ever be, and it's very exhilarating.
Okay, so tell us when lots of FFA students are familiar with the Creed because we've heard it time after time, but as you're deciding, as you're, you know, looking even towards, it used to be PI, but y'all don't call it that now. I think it's districts and regionals or area, but kind of talk about the process. Just to get out of Oklahoma as the winner is a tough thing. It's a competitive place, right? So tell us about how you kind of prepared for that and then what that process looked like for you.
Yeah, so first off, I started by just looking at every single sentence in the Creed and finding an answer for it.
Okay.
Formulating a question for the Creed, find an answer for it. And that helped a lot, especially at jackpot competitions before you start to get to regionals and area and state. Okay. And once I started to get to there, I would talk to people from Congress or my Uncle Bart, who runs the Ag Policy Center at Texas A&M, and we would run through the Creed and we'd find answers to questions. And at the national level, I took a tour with my Uncle Bart across Texas and Oklahoma, and we went on an Ag Policy tour. And that helped me a lot, especially formulate my questions if they regarded policy. And that was extremely helpful.
So you've got 5 paragraphs, is that right? 5 paragraphs,
yes,
of the Creed. So, and you may not be able off the top of your head, was there a question that surprised you or challenged you? I know you did lots of preparation, but was there one that you're like, oh, I didn't anticipate this?
Well, I think nationals at finals hall, there was a question, I can't quite quote the exact question, but it was formulated as changes throughout agriculture and FFA, and I expected something to be asked like that, but not in the exact way they asked it, and it took me a second to formulate an answer, but we got there.
Okay. Well, let's jump over to another very competitive contest area, and Stillwater FFA in particular, I feel like, has been very competitive, but tell us, Eliana, about the agri-science contest area, what that looks like, how you go through that process, because you may have some listeners that are not familiar with it at all. So kind of tell us about your experience there.
It's actually a pretty funny story. So I first heard about agri-science when I was in my 8th grade class. My ag teacher was telling us if we did an agri-science project, we would get extra credit points. And I was like, oh, of course I'll do that just for some extra credit. And I learned that it was kind of, you got to choose a topic you were passionate about in different divisions. Okay. So I chose to do social systems. So it's kind of about how people think or how they react to different situations, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so my topic was why kids choose not to join agriculture, because I felt it was a topic very near and dear to my heart. Because if I didn't get involved in FFA, I wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't have gone to go to nationals. So I started that project and I interviewed about 100 or I surveyed about 155 people and got all the information of why they thought kids didn't join. And I ended up at all the way at nationals, just going to state contests and all of this.
Okay.
And it was an insane experience. When I got to nationals, I never expected I would have gotten there. But I think it was because I cared so much about my project and I was able to relate to the judges and just speak with a lot of passion.
Okay, so kind of, and for some folks to relate to, a little bit similar then to a science project in some ways for folks that had done that, gathering your data. And then did you have a hypothesis and did you have to talk with judges about the data that you gathered, or kind of what are all those pieces look like?
Yeah, I had to form a hypothesis. My original one was that kids didn't get involved in agriculture because they wanted to be with their friends. And if they didn't get the same ag class as their friend, they wouldn't want to join. But that really wasn't the reason at all. Kids just didn't have time in their busy schedules to put in agriculture. So really, it was about making time for kids through schedules like block scheduling, just working around those issues so kids could get involved in agriculture so they wouldn't be as disconnected.
So tell me, time-wise, I know our public speaking is more in the spring in Oklahoma for those contests and as they go through state. What does your timeline look for agri-science? Is it same time that springtime you have those judged and then they're selected at state convention, or what does that look like for you and to get prepared for it?
So agri-science contest is a little before CDE state contest, because I do ag issues and I'm also starting CREED this year.
Okay.
So that's just a little before those contests, and it kind of, you can start agri-science pretty much anytime you want to. You can get a topic even a year before and start it whatever time you want. And a lot of people will spend a lot of time, but my project didn't take a bunch of time because I was just surveying people.
Gotcha.
It was mainly studying over my data.
Okay. And then did interview process there at state and then similar when you get to national convention, or does a contest look a little, I know some of our CDE contests at the state level look a little bit different than at the national level, so I don't know if that was a different process.
Yeah, so at the national level, I actually did a Zoom call, which I was so nervous about.
Interesting.
Because,
okay.
Yeah, I've never done a Zoom call for something like an interview. It was nerve-wracking because I had to look at the camera, but everyone's little block for the Zoom call was below that, so I wanted to look at them
to see their faces.
So it looked a little weird, so it took a little bit of practice for that. But my favorite part was definitely answering the questions, because I had to kind of partly planned out what I was going to say, but I loved answering the questions and talking to the judges. I really talked to my ag teacher because he taught me a lot during this entire project.
Okay. Very good. So, Corbin, let's jump back to public speaking. Public speaking is something, you'll see it quoted that it's people's number one fear, right, is public speaking. So did you CREED last year. Talk about, did you do an 8th, 9th, and 10th grade speech, or was it just expected at your house that you would do public speaking, or did you maybe not want to do it and then your ag teacher encouraged you? But talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I also did 8th, 9th, and 10th, and I placed 3rd at state in that division. And funny story, so every year when it comes to speech time, Father and I have an absolute battle to get me to memorize my speech.
Okay.
It's a bloody war, and it's going on right now. But yeah, every year, I wouldn't say I'm forced to do it, but I want to do it.
Yes.
It just takes some motivation for me to actually get in there and study my speech.
Okay.
But once I get started, I get rolling.
Okay. So what are the, did you have, and you may have done speaking in 4-H or through the AFR contest. So is that a nerve-wracking thing for you, or have you kind of gotten so comfortable now, or do you practice with mom and dad or your ag teachers, or how do you kind of work through getting a comfort level with your speech?
Well, I think it all started with the CREED when I finally started to mellow down.
Okay.
Because my ag teacher, Sadie Roche, she's at Hobart now. She made me speak in front of the whole school. Every single person in the school. In the auditorium, in classrooms, the teachers. And that really helped me a lot. And I started talking from my family, which for me is the hardest part because I feel like they judge you the hardest.
For sure.
And that helped. And then after I won state, getting to speak at state convention on the stage helped tremendously. It got over my fear of a mass group.
Because that's
to speak
a few people,
of.
Right?
That was a few people. Yes, ma'am. And then once you get to Finals Hall and there's just this large crowd in front of you, it's really not that bad because the lights blind you from half the people. So
okay, so
you
then
just
you
start
don't
speaking
know,
out
right?
of your heart. Yeah.
How was it nationals? I just looked out and it was just a bunch of light. Didn't even see anyone.
Okay, so it's not that intimidating then, right? When you can't see all the faces staring back at you?
I mean, before you go on, I was terrified before I went on at nationals. But okay. On there, I was like, oh, I can't see anyone.
So now then you on AgriScience, do they do like a top 10 and then you all don't know your placing? Do they announce it live there on stage at convention? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, they did announce it live. So they kind of went down the line and they started from 10th place and went all the way up to first.
Okay.
So there's actually one of my chapter friends was standing right at the front of the stage.
Yes.
And every person, she was like, top 9, top
like
8,
counting
all the way
down
to first
you?
Until I got to first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So another AgriScience project this year or?
No, I'm taking a gap year for AgriScience.
For AgriScience. Okay. Yeah. But working on the creed. So mm-hmm. getting close to, I'm sure contests are kind of starting up. Do you have some contests soon for the creed?
Yeah, I actually have a contest this Thursday. It'll be my first contest in Norman.
Okay. So kind of getting geared up for that.
Yep.
Yes.
Getting a lot of the inside intel from.
I was going to say, Corbin maybe has all the tips for you, right? On the creed side of things?
He seems like he hardcore definitely studied the creed and went in front of people. Because one of my biggest fears was definitely public speaking and still kind of is. But my mom pushed me to do opening ceremonies. And
okay.
This has kind of helped me break out of my shell of being really shy and scared of public speaking.
Okay. No, it's great. It's great, great practice. So, Corbin, we mentioned opening ceremonies. Did you all do any open ceremony? Or now there's even, is there like an 8th grade creed contest where everybody picks a paragraph?
Yeah, there's a team division. Okay. Yeah, there's 5. I never did that, but I had some friends that did.
Okay. And then did you do opening ceremonies?
We were second in state.
Okay. So it a little bit of comfort level with going over those pieces and competing. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this year you get to talk about prepared. Are you doing just prepared this year? Or are you doing extemp?
I'm doing prepared and extemp.
Okay. So talk about the difference between those and kind of what that looks like between the two different types of, because Lee, we all have kind of been through speech pieces of things, but Lee, we talked on one of the other podcasts, one of the students talked about doing extemp and Lee wasn't familiar with the extemp side of things. So talk about those two different lanes.
Well, I think that we should start by acknowledging that they somewhat go hand in hand in preparation process.
Okay.
So especially in ag business or policy, those divisions of prepared, they go really well when you're trying to prepare for the topics that you get in extemporaneous.
Okay.
And that's helped a lot when I prepare, just knowing current events, what's going on Capitol Hill. Things like that are really, really important when you pull your topics.
Okay.
And it's the prepared, it's a whole nother monster. You have to study, work hard, and know your speech through and through.
So what area, I know there's several different divisions, and I can't reel them all off, but there's ag policy or plant science, or kind of talk about the different divisions and then what you're, on your prepared side, what you're working on this year.
I think I know all of them. So there's natural resources, ag business, ag policy. You said one of them that I didn't name. And then there's one more, but I'm doing policy this year. I did it my 8th grade year and made it to area. And maybe that was a little too challenging for my 8th grade year, but I did it anyway, and I'm ready to tackle that again and hopefully make it to the speak-off at state convention.
So talk about that piece that we've got, because you've got all, you've got 5 or 6, I think, prepared winners, and then talk about what that looks like on the prepared side at state convention, which is totally separate from our creed contest.
Right, well, they split them up, 10 people in each division at the state contest in Stillwater. And then the first place of each of the 6 go and speak on the or on the state stage. I believe it's in the convention center. And I've watched it every year since I went to state convention, and it just inspires me more and more to watch speakers like Caleb Horn.
Yeah, from Morrison.
And then Caleb Poling. Yes. Those speakers really inspired me to keep pushing and be a better speaker every single year and work harder on my questions. That's what Caleb Horn's always taught me is questions are important. Know your speech.
Absolutely. Kayla is one of our Ag Youth Council members and a state FFA officer this year, I think, yes, from Silo.
President.
And just, I had the chance to judge a couple of years ago and then love to watch the students. But the question part certainly kind of separates some of the students from each other. And you never know because it's a little bit of a random panel of judges. So depending on your topic, you never know what they may ask you. So that's the prepared side where you guys are doing 6 to 8 minutes. You know what it's going to be. But now walk us through extemp. What does that look like when you're at a contest to do an extemporaneous speech? What does that process look like?
So all the extemporaneous kids go in a room and they pick out of a tub or a cup or something like that and has a bunch of different ag topics.
Okay.
You pull three out and then you choose one. And then you get 20 minutes of research, and then I think it's 15 or 20 minutes of just preparing what you're going to say. And then you go right into the room, and right off the top of your head and what you've gathered from your research, you talk about that topic. And I've been lucky in my practice to pull a policy one every time,
so
I'm going to hope that luck stays true when I start going to contests so I can talk about what I know the most about.
Which is kind of, it's a little bit more challenging off the cuff. You have some pieces prepared, but you've got to go in a short time frame and give a speech to a group of judges just the same as prepared, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then we have our prepared speaker from Oklahoma and our extemp speaker go and compete at national convention. Excuse me. And usually we're kind of right in the thick of things. The Oklahoma speakers are. They always do a really good job. But along with the speaking, we've talked about agri-science, but Eliana, you also mentioned, I think, Ag Issues contest. Yes?
Yes, I did.
So tell the listeners a little bit, because I don't feel like I'm old, but there are a lot of contests that you all do now in FFA that were not around when I was in FFA several decades ago. So tell us a little bit about the Ag Issues contest and then what you and your fellow chapter members are working on.
Yeah, so the Ag Issues contest is you choose a topic as a team. My team has 7 members, but you have to have at least 4 people.
Okay.
But you can have up to 7. Okay. And you choose a controversial ag topic, and you kind of take a stance on both sides, and you just give information about the issue and present it to the judges. And you can be partial on some sides, but as an overall presentation, you have to show both sides and just show the information and present it to the judges in kind of a fair light so they can understand just what's going on. So in Stillwater, we have, as I said, 7 members, and I first got into it because one of my friends wanted me to, and I loved it immediately. So it's like you act out a skit, basically, but you have a whole skit memorized,
yes.
And then at the end, you have 10 to 15 minutes of questions that they'll ask you about the whole presentation.
Okay, and so then you all kind of brainstorm on what you want your topic to be, and then the ag teacher kind of helps you mold that as you work through the year?
Yeah, so this year we're talking about land prices in specific, like, I guess in Oklahoma as a whole, but it's supposed to be able to connect to where you are also, because in Stillwater, land prices can be very high, but also just as a nation, land prices are going up. So just in 9th grade and 8th grade, we kind of talk about land and cattle farms and all kinds of stuff. So our ag teacher was kind of talking about different topics we should do, and he thought that would be a good one, and we were all like, yeah, sure, let's do that topic. So he kind of researches it, and then we look over it together as a team.
Okay, and then you'll do some kind of practice contest or jackpot contest, I think maybe is how Corbin referenced those, and then you compete during all the other CDEs there in April in Stillwater?
Yeah, so Ag Issues is kind of different because we don't have really jackpot contests. We have forums.
I gotcha.
So I've actually came and presented here as a forum before when we were doing like marijuana farms and stuff. That was one of our topics. Yep. And if that was agriculture, and we kind of have like 15 minute presentations and do what we would do at state contests, but just in front of other people instead of judges. And then we have state contests around the same time as other CD.
Okay. Very good. So 2 kind of different lanes. Now, Corbin, I didn't ask you. I know you're working on extemp and prepared public speaking. Do you have another contest that you're working on this spring?
We're doing agri-science quiz bowl, but other than that, I'm trying to stay focused.
On your speeches?
On my public speaking, yes, ma'am. But I am actually pretty excited for the agri-science quiz bowl. We have a really good team, and we study a lot.
Okay, so is there animal science and agri-science? You'll have to help me with
that.
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a team for that too, but I'm not as skilled in that category. Okay. I'm more of the agri-science type, but
no. So, and just kind of like a quiz bowl, just like an academic
bowl.
Yes,
ma'am.
Quiz
it's the
bowl.
Exact okay. set.
And four-member team and
four-member teams, and it's two tables, and then you have your buzzers, and that's how it
okay.
works.
Okay, and then it's just a draw of whoever gets which question, and you hope your team member knows the answer. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Stillwater has a team. We had practice for Ag Issues and Quiz Bowl like right after each other. So I would sit in and watch the Quiz Bowl teams. It's so funny watching them all fight
who
to get
can
it
ring
first
the buzzer.
And get the
okay.
question. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've talked about several different contests and ways that students can participate or compete. But something I always like to hear from your all's perspective, and Eliana, I think you said that your brother is the one who kind of encouraged you to be in the FFA program. But we'll start with you. And for anyone who's listening, it might be a student or it might be a parent or a grandparent. Why do you think it's important for young people to be in the FFA program or participate in ag in some way? What would be your encouraging words, especially for maybe a student that doesn't have a traditional ag background or his family has never been in FFA? Why do you think that they should look into enrolling in ag at their school?
I don't really have an ag background. I didn't grow up in FFA or have a family that went into agriculture
okay.
really, or I was kind of disconnected
okay.
from it. Like I had some connections through my grandfather, but we weren't like super close and I wasn't working cattle on the farm. But my brother getting into it really did introduce it to me because I realized that I didn't have to show animals to be an FFA. I didn't have to just be good at public speaking okay. to be an FFA. It's so much more. It's connected to everything around us. And I feel like people really now are so disconnected from it. And they don't realize that everything around us is connected to agriculture. From all the food we eat to different careers that we do, just our way of life is agriculture. Okay. And so I would really encourage kids to get into it because it's so diverse. They can find anything that could fit
okay.
them.
No, that's great. All right, Corbin, I know you have more of an ag background. So what is kind of your pitch to students why they should, and you know, with busy class schedules and trying to make all the time work or other activities, why they should decide to be in ag and participate too, participate in contests?
Well, I'll first bounce off Eliana's point. That was really well said. There's always something for everyone. You might not think that just because you don't show or you don't public speak or you're not the class favorite doesn't mean that you can't be involved in ag and there's not a place for you. And especially, I'll give an example. There's a few girls in my class that have started doing herbology.
Okay.
And that has been really cool. And they have zero ag background and they absolutely love it. And they go out to the greenhouse and they spend
okay.
all their time out there. And I've kind of taken an interest in watching them do it because it looks fun and I think flowers are pretty. So
okay, no, it's perfect. Now, Corbin, I know smaller school, Chatty's a smaller school than Stillwater. So talk a little bit about balancing. I think you're an athlete as well, and I think show livestock. So talk about how do you make all of those things happen in a super, super busy day?
It's not impossible. I'll say that. You gotta pick and choose. And I was actually talking to the state officer team when they came to our school about this. And when it comes to important contests, like state speech contests is the same time as regionals and baseball
yeah.
for class
yeah.
B and A. And last year I played baseball. I'm not this year because I'm focusing more on speech. But I decided that I was just going to choose speech because that's the state level. And we really didn't even have a chance. We were playing Fort Cobb anyway, so it didn't really matter. But I chose speech instead. And it goes the same. Basketball's a little different because we're a
gotcha.
Lot better at that. And it doesn't really run into as many things other than stock shows like Fort Worth and Congress and stuff like that. You can pick and choose. But I'll tell you, if you talk to your coach, they'll work around it. My coach is very good at talking to me or my ag teacher or my family about what I have going on,
yep.
especially stock show-wise. And he's actually planned the schedule this year where I can make every game, and that was really, really helpful.
No, I think that's something wonderful about Oklahoma, is I feel like the majority of the schools have great conversations between ag teachers and on the academic side, but also on the athletic side, especially smaller schools and real, real small schools, because they want those students to be able to do everything. Now, Stillwater's a little bit bigger school, right? Where 6A, is Stillwater 6A? 5A, 6A?
5A? 5A.
So yes. I know because you've got more opportunities there as far as athletics or taking AP classes or whatever it might be. How did you decide to balance or to focus in on ag, or what other pieces are you balancing along with all the options and activities that you have kind of at a larger school there in Stillwater?
Yeah, so I do volleyball outside of school, and I do kind of some Girl Scouts things, and then I have all advanced classes, and it's kind of stressful at times, especially at times in like this month where we're going to have a ton of contests. But I think it's always good to remind myself that I have a huge support system of members, of ag teachers, of my parents, my friends, and I need to remember to make sure I'm having fun and enjoying myself, because we still have so much time to go through high school, and FFA is supposed to be pushing you out of your comfort zone, but also it's supposed to be enjoyable. And I think that's a really important thing to know, is you do have to make sacrifices sometimes, and that can suck to have to drop something like volleyball or to have to take lower classes so you can keep up with schoolwork. But in the end, I think it is worth it.
No, really good advice. I'm always impressed, Lee, with these young adults that we have, that I feel like you all are much more mature than I ever felt like I was when I was in high school. So we're getting towards the end of our time. So I'm going to ask you guys, we always love to hear from the folks on the podcast. If you, and Eliana, we'll start with you. If you are going to give advice to a younger student, what would be your words of advice to a younger student? It doesn't even have to be FFA specific or ag specific, but just in general, what words of advice would you give to them?
My advice would definitely be to get involved. Okay. I remember looking at those agri-science posters on the wall. My ag teacher put all national winners posters on the wall. I remember thinking I could never get there. I would never be able to do that. But just thinking like that kind of stunted me anyway. And my ag teacher pushed me and pushed me to do it. And I did, and I got all the way to nationals, and I won. Just thinking that you can do it, or you can at least try, you don't even have to win. Like, I was incredibly, incredibly lucky to win, but you can just do it for the fun of it. You can just do it to learn. You don't have to be the best at it. I would just say get involved.
Okay, great advice. All right, Corbin, how about you? What are your words of advice for other students?
I think this is more of a general thing just in terms of high school, but I advise every lower classmen to find an upperclassman to cling on to.
Okay.
And for me, that was very important. I had my cousin Ben Ellis to cling on to all throughout eighth grade and freshman year. And I've tried to be a mentor, which I'm only a sophomore, so it's not just a huge role, but to the lower classmen that are especially coming right into FFA, try and get them involved. And that's a shout out to all the upperclassmen too. Be a voice to the younger kids in your high school, so they'll do the same things that you do. And it'll keep the FFA program lasting for a longer time.
Well, wonderful advice, very sage advice from two young people here. And you certainly made the Stillwater FFA chapter and the Chattanooga FFA chapter proud. And
thank you.
Really glad to have you guys on here with us. And Lee and I will look forward to watching you all this spring and through the rest of your FFA careers and see the success that you have. So thanks for joining us here on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Eliana and Corbin have departed. Lee Benson back here alongside Secretary Blaine Arthur. And Secretary Arthur, what are your takeaways from the interview with Eliana and Corbin?
Well, you know, I think so many of us know how talented our FFA members are here in Oklahoma, but to hear from those two students who certainly were successful here on the state level, but then incredibly successful on the national level, competing against FFA kids from across the United States and still kind of very young in their FFA careers, a freshman and a sophomore. So I think we'll anticipate seeing lots more great things happen for those young people in their FFA careers.
I liked how Eliana got into the agri-science part of FFA, because she said that, I think she said she was in eighth grade, so it only happened a couple of years ago, or maybe a year ago, but she said that her teacher said, hey, you can have extra credit if you do this, and she jumped at it.
Right.
So that tells you that she's obviously a go-getter, a good student.
Absolutely, and I don't think she probably ever thought I may win the national contest in this that started out with extra credit, so you just never know.
And I could really relate to, not that I've ever done speech contests before, but I think we've all at some point have had to memorize something, have had to do, speak in public or give like a wedding toast or something. And whenever Corbin was saying that something this time of year when he's trying to memorize speeches, he has to battle with, I think he said he had to battle with his dad, and it's
yes,
really intense,
right?
Because it takes that extra motivation for him to kind of get going, because it's even if you're really good at it, Corbin is really good at
for
this,
sure.
It's interesting how speech, it takes that extra little kick just to start memorizing, because it's so difficult.
It's
not easy.
It's really hard. And on those prepared speeches, those speeches are 6 to 8 minutes. And so that's a pretty lengthy amount of information to have memorized. And I know there's some people that are great at memorizing, but all the things I've ever had to memorize in life, you do feel like, okay, I just got to sit down and do this. There's no easy way. There's no trick. You just kind of have to plod through it. And that once you've got it memorized, I think people don't mind. But the actual memorization part is pretty tedious and just not a whole lot of fun.
And I got to give credit. I apologize. I didn't write down. I didn't catch the name of one of his ag teachers, but he mentioned that one of his ag teachers just made him speak to his entire school over and over and over again.
Which I thought was great. You kind of get all the nerves out, especially, I don't think, certainly probably not a high school student does not probably want to speak to the rest of the high school student body, right? I mean,
no.
That's probably not your favorite audience to pick, but it sounded like he was like, then I was fine. I'd talk to everyone in the school, so it was fine.
And by the time he got to the end of it there, he said he was at nationals, and he did say the lights were helpful because it kind of blinds you.
Right.
But still,
right.
You get to that moment, and you've done it so many times. Like anything, the more you practice something, that's the point of it, right?
Absolutely.
Because then you get to
Absolutely.
Be more comfortable. And then Eliana, I know she's in agri-science, but I guess I didn't know this going into it, but she said she's taking a gap year from that and then doing Creed. So I had no idea that they were both. So that kind of worked out. And she seems like she's very comfortable speaking already for
Agreed.
Being so young.
Agreed.
So I'm sure she'll pick that up pretty quick.
Very impressed with them for the age that they were. Very articulate, very well-spoken. And you can see, of course, why they've been so successful in those two areas, because they are very well-spoken students.
And I know this is more for the public speaking speech contest, not necessarily the Creed, but maybe Eliana will want to do even more speaking. And one of the things that Corbin said about when he was talking about speech contests and extemporaneous speeches, and he mentioned how important it is to kind of keep up with current events and
yes.
know what's going on. And so maybe that's a bit of advice that Eliana can have. Because I think back when I was in high school, freshman, sophomore, the most I knew about current events, this is so funny, I remember this. I think when I was a freshman, our history teacher would put on, she would record like the CBS Evening News from the night before.
Okay.
And then that morning, the next morning, she would play it, like just the first segment, the first,
yes.
I don't know how long it'd be, 10 minutes or so, just to give us, here's what's going on in the world
right,
today.
Right.
And that's about all I knew about current events, which I think back and it was probably helpful because I wouldn't have known that stuff otherwise. So point being, it's nice that Corbin is, so young and realizing that, hey, I need to know what's going on in the world, and then it can help me in speech, but also it's going to help you just in general.
Absolutely. We had Channel 1 here in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. I had that
and
too.
And so I would say that thinking back to how, we didn't all carry these phones around in our pocket then. And so I would say that was probably my awareness of what was going on in the world. So certainly there's no question these kids are much more on top of things than I was when I was in high school, for sure.
I wonder if Channel 1 is still a thing.
I don't know. It kind of, as you're talking about watching that
about
in
it.
Class, I was like, oh gosh, I remember Channel 1. We used to watch it every morning when I was in 7th and 8th grade, I think. So.
That's so funny. And then so towards the end, when you always like to ask them for advice, and I'm always so impressed by what kind of advice and thoughts that teenagers can have.
Again,
I sound the same every show, but it's still impressive. And so I liked Eliana's point about how she said that, well, just go do it. Just jump right in because ag is so diverse. Even if you don't think you like anything, there's probably something in the ag world that you're going to find that you enjoy. And I think Corbin kind of piggybacked off that and agreed with it. So I thought that was pretty interesting and a takeaway that I guess I probably wouldn't have thought of. But now that I think more about it and have learned more about ag, I think, I guess there is something for everybody.
For sure. And just the advice piece, just them having enough self-awareness to, you know, no longer or more life experiences that they had, they gave some, I think, excellent guidance and advice for other students.
And I have a soft spot in my heart for all the ag kids that also play sports on the side, which both of them.
Yes.
Both of them talked about it. Corbin, sounds like baseball and basketball, and Ileana said she played volleyball. So I think, how do you do all of this ag stuff but also fit sports in? But as I've learned and I hear from them, it's all about time management, because it's possible. And you made the point too that coaches can work with kids too in Oklahoma. It seems like a good thing that coaches know that ag's important, and especially in those rural communities.
Agreed.
Where there's not as many kids, and
which is awesome.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks to Ileana and Corbin for dropping by. I did want to shift topics a bit, and I know OYE finished up now a couple of weeks ago as you listen to this, but we haven't really had a chance to kind of give an OYE wrap up, and I do want to start here. We may have discussed this a couple episodes ago or an episode ago, but Secretary Arthur, I did want to kind of reiterate and ask you just to lay out, you know, how important OYE is to the state, to ag, to these kids. Why is it such a big deal?
Well, a lot of folks, I think, would say that OYE is the state championship for a lot of our students who participate, and a lot of that is livestock focused. There's no question. We've got kids from all 77 counties that participate in OYE, so we bring them from every part of the state to Oklahoma City for about 11 days. But the great pieces, I think, that we've seen OYE add on to the show, and certainly we got to talk to an ag mechanics student a couple of episodes ago, but they've got the ag mechanics contest. They've also got the skillathon contest, and there's even a shooting sports component. And so those students are competing for scholarship dollars. Over $350,000 in scholarships were awarded to students just this year alone. And those dollars are utilized at schools here in the state of Oklahoma. So we're kind of, you know, encouraging those students to pursue their education, but then keeping them here in the state, hopefully. And then also through the premium auction, I believe it was over $1.3 million that companies and sponsors provided to those students. And I know some of that will help with their future projects, but so many of those kids, that's how they pay for a big part of their education. And so they're learning all the life skills that we want them to learn, no matter if they're showing livestock or doing ag mechanics or skillathon or the shooting sports. And then they're all coming together at the same time. And we're, I think, very accustomed to that event here in Oklahoma. And we expect the students to be exceptional and expect the event to be exceptional. But I think what's always impressive to me is when I talk to someone from another state and they say, oh, gosh, you all don't understand how fortunate you are to have this event in Oklahoma.
And I was going to hit on that part, that thing that you last said, because coming from outside the ag world, I've been to OYE now twice, last year and this year, and hearing people talk about it, the biggest difference to me, well, there's probably a bunch of differences, but it sounds like the grand drive that happens,
yes,
all the pomp and circumstance,
yes,
is something that's so unique to OYE. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds
that's
this is the only place where not only would these kids get all these scholarship money and all this accolades, but they will be celebrated in a way that doesn't happen anywhere else, which makes this such an even more unique experience for them.
It is, and you'll hear a lot of the students talk about the limo and getting the chance to ride in the limo and having the lights and the music and the fireworks. And I think the big piece about that is I think it truly is an appreciation from the sponsors, the businesses here in the state of Oklahoma for those kids and all the hard work that they put in for that year prior, and certainly years even before that, but with those particular projects that year beforehand, and genuinely celebrating our 4-H and FFA members. I mean, those are memories that those kids will have forever and ever, kind of core memories that they're creating. And a lot of kids, OYE is over, but I can promise you there's lots of kids already working in the barn or deciding what their ag mechanics contest is going to be, because they're working to, I want to have the opportunity to try to get in the grand drive in 2025.
And I can tell just based off of a lot of the kids in our Ag Youth Council here at ODAF, I think maybe all of them are involved with OYE in some way, shape, or form. And it's not just I guess for me, realizing that a lot of these kids have been involved in this, have been doing this since they were real little. And so they get to the senior year in high school. I guess that's probably their last one.
Right.
So all those emotions will come out. And then you mentioned at the very beginning of this about how it's like the state championship. And I appreciate that analogy for somebody who comes from more of a sports background. Yeah. And then when I see these pictures and videos of all these kids, you know, crying and their families, and then that's sort of a reaction that I'm used to seeing if a team wins a state basketball championship.
Yes, very, very
similar. Like, okay, this makes sense. This is really important. Yes. I get it.
Yes, and I think the one piece, and certainly love athletics, and both, I was an athlete a long time ago in high school.
I'm going to ask you about that at some point on the show, so we'll tease ahead of that at some point. Yeah.
But both of my kids are participate in athletics at our small school, but I think a little bit of the unique piece of OYE is it's a kind of a team event of its own. Even though those kids may be showing a hog, you know, parents, ag teacher, 4-H educator, other kids in their chapter, it becomes, you know, you see not just that student celebrating, right? Not just the winner, but everyone who is part of that team to help them get there. And I think that kind of to your sports analogy, it is this team effort, but in a little bit different package. And I think that's what makes it extra fun.
And just in the last thing, if you play sports and you win a championship, I never got to win a championship at that level, which would have been great. Obviously, you put a lot of time into it. But then now that I know a lot more about these kids and how it works with their, you know, with their animals and the ag, I mean, it's, you probably put more time into this because it's literally every single day. And the best players will practice and do things every single day. But right. I mean, you can speak to this better than me, but that's another big reason why there's so much emotion, right? Because it's just literally every single day for multiple years.
For sure.
Goes into this. So that's impressive. Yeah.
There's just no time off. and especially, you know, I think as they get into the, you know, marking the days off the calendar towards OYE, it kind of really ramps up probably stress at the household a little bit. But there's, I think, the passion for what those students are doing is what you really get to see celebrated. I think that really comes through, is the passion that the kids have for their projects and wanting to compete. But then my favorite thing, Lee, is you'll see these kids, no matter the species, that one minute they're competing against each other, right? And maybe their friend's more successful than them. Well, they turn right around and they're cheering for their friend in the grand drive. Dina, even though they may not have made it, they're cheering for their friend who they maybe were just competing against earlier on in the breed or in class. And that's kind of a unique piece, I think, to the livestock show, that one second they're as big a competitors as you could imagine, and then they're cheering for their friend. So it's a very unique place, and I think a great spot for kids to spend a lot of their time.
That's a terrific OYE wrap-up, I think. I think we did it. Check that off the list.
Okay,
there perfect. We got one more thing left to do. Finally, for the random ag fact of the day, according to the latest Census of Agriculture, which I like to pull stats from this because it's somewhat new, off the presses in the last few weeks, Oklahoma has 126,352 total ag producers in the state. And I wanted to add, after having worked here at ODAF for a little, about a year and a half or so, I've learned that, you know, many of those producers also work here at the Department of Ag in Oklahoma, which I find that to be pretty cool that I work with so many people that, you know, this is their job, but they're actually like, it's part of their life too.
Right. No,
it's like, oh, so they must know quite a bit about this.
It's a good point. And I think too, why so many of our employees are excellent at what they do and also very passionate about their day job is because they understand that from the other side of their job when they're not here. So I think it makes for extra special employees as well.
Well, thank you for joining us on this edition of Young Ag Achievers. Of course, we invite you to join us for future episodes as we talk to more of Oklahoma Agriculture's Young Ag Achievers. For Secretary Arthur, I am Lee Benson. Thank you for listening.